In a few minutes, we're going to be speaking with Keller Williams. He is a singer, songwriter, guitarist, solo act, band leader, all kinds of things. And I thought just to give you an introduction, I'd play just a few little samples from his work.
Well, it's hard to mow my lawn when my grass is blue. Sometimes it gets all dirty, like when a hippie don't use shampoo. Sometimes it dreads into dreadlocks, but the rain can make it new. Well, it's hard to mow my lawn when my grass is blue.
That was a clip from Bumper Sticker from the new disc Pick. And here's just a little clip from Restraint, which is one of my favorite songs. Don't listen to the lyrics if you don't want to.
I wanna jump your bones, but you're on. Sounds kind of important. I want to jump your bones, but I don't think you would go for it. In the middle of a call without a headset.
I'm just delighted right now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Keller Williams. He's a musician, singer, songwriter. He's both a band leader and a solo artist. His two latest discs are called Bass and Pick. He's released 18 albums in the last 18 years, and he'll be playing this Saturday, the 14th of July, at the K Taos Solar Center in Taos, New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you play such a broad variety of music, and I was trying to figure out how to present this to our listeners, you know, a little bit of a number of different kinds of music that you play. You were quoted once, I think, calling your music solo, acoustic, jazz, funk, reggae, techno, grass, and you also play so many different instruments. Do you end up playing at very different genres of music festivals, all different kinds of audiences?
Well, not as much as I'd like. You know, there's a specific type of festival that I'm more welcomed at than others. there are many different types of festivals, but I definitely go to the more camping festivals, you know, the more like places where the utopia is created. that's my kind of festival. That's where I seem to do best.
Do you have any favorite festivals?
Oh, my. There are many. The Telluride Bluegrass Festival is probably my favorite. Just the one stage in the biggest room in the world, you know. It's in this canyon with these beautiful mountain walls and just memories of artists like Peter Rowan and his voice echoing off these canyons. And then you sleep outside and it's very crisp and clear Colorado nights. And just the quality of music and the sound quality of music is just pristine and top of the line, top shelf in my book.
Tell us about your new album, Pick, and the collaboration that you did with the bluegrass band, the Traveling McCurries.
Well, if you don't know, the Traveling McCurries is basically the Del McCurry band without Del. For the past couple of years, they've been venturing out and having different guitar players come in and play, and they do sets. And then there's other configurations that they've been a part of, like with the Lee Boys, you know, kind of like a upbeat rock gospel type of thing that they collaborated with them. There's the Preservation Hall Jazz Band that they've done. They've done many, many different things, not just bluegrass. But it seemed like an obvious fit for me, being the solo act that ventures out into different projects as well, and them having another guitar players as well as having a really open mind as far as, you know, bluegrass musicians are concerned. These guys are not afraid to play in the key of F, which is just slightly taboo in the bluegrass world, I'm discovering.
Why is that?
Well, F is a difficult key for bluegrass instruments, but they adapted very well to different keys, you know, playing with these horn bands. Like Preservation Hall Jazz Band, to play in E-flat and F, and by the time I came around, they were used to playing a different key, so it was a natural fit. And I've just had a great time playing and singing with them, especially singing. In the past couple shows, have really turned a corner, and I get chills to be a part of such a vocal chord as created between, you know, the Traveling McCurries and myself.
They're not going to be there in Taos this weekend, but are you still continuing to tour with them?
Yeah, I just did three shows with them last week, and I think we've got a handful of shows on the horizon as well as New Year's this year. So we're having a great time playing together.
We're talking to songwriter, musician Keller Williams. If you don't mind, explain to our listeners the looping technique that you do in your solo shows. It's unique and amazing. It's something I've experienced a number of times. Tell us how it actually works.
Well, first of all, thank you. Second of all, it's live phrase sampling. So nothing is pre-recorded. Everything is created right there on stage. Basically, there is an effect device that's attached to a foot switch. I can hit the foot switch at the right time, play something or sing something, and at the right time, hit it again, and it repeats what I just played or sang. Then I can layer on a bass line or a drum line and then sing or solo over top of it. That's basically what it is. And, you know, my solo show is deeply grounded in solo acoustic singer-songwriter stuff as well, but with a little more of a rhythmic edge to it, you know. So every other song, it'll be like a solo acoustic song with words and verses and bridges. And and then every other will be, you know, more of a dance vibe in which I go off into more of an improvisation type of element. It's all just a constant mere way to entertain myself for the couple hours that I'm on stage, and hopefully that in turn goes to the audience and everyone's happy, hopefully.
I can attest to that, if I may. And I was thinking about all the different ways that you play. I mean, you play with the Traveling McCurries, you play with Mosley, Droll, and Sipe. You form kind of a rock band with them, which is extraordinary. You record a live disc with them. You've played with String Cheese Incident and Bob Weir and Bela Fleck. Are you doing any of the Mosley, Droll, and Sipe work soon?
You know, I wish. That was really the project where I was able to get out my childhood fantasies of rock and roll music in front of an audience like the ones that we had, you know?
Right.
And we did it for like a year and a half. I tried to take it to every place that I could around the country and put out this big triple disc release, you know. And since then, you know, Keith has definitely gotten, like, String Cheese Incident has, you know, ramped up once again, and they're back and rehearsing and all kinds of new energy happening with them. Gibb is doing his thing in Nashville as a producer now, and, you know, I would love to get that project up and running again, at least for a couple shows. You know, we've definitely been able to do one or two shows a year, but it's not quite enough for me. There's definitely a magic with that ensemble, and I'd love to get that back and feel that once again.
Yeah. There's a real Grateful Dead influence in your music, and you went to their shows and you learned their music, and there's this Grateful Dead culture, which I think you were kind of referring to at the beginning, that kind of utopian camping world. And having seen that, it's like the next generation of deadheads is there going to festivals. I was wondering if you could talk about how their music affected you and also that culture and how it's lasted for so long.
Well, it started with the music. It started with the record Reckoning for me. And what it was the Grateful Dead playing acoustic. And I was really adamantly acoustic at that point, really kind of getting into, like, Michael Hedges and, you know, guitar players like that. And I guess it started with the music and then going to the show and seeing the connection between the audience and the music, and with that kind of going a little deeper into like the morals of traveling, and so the whole Grateful Dead world kind of opened me up to the whole element of traveling. I mean, so many elements that the Grateful Dead opened me up to, one of them being traveling, that later came to become really handy when I started to really get my own shows. It was only a couple of years that I had the pleasure of being totally 100% irresponsible and go to as many Grateful Dead shows as I possibly could. Granted, I was, you know, 18 to 21 when that was happening, so in my opinion, it was kind of right where I needed to be at that time, and I wouldn't, you know, trade it for anything, obviously. But once my show started to come around, I started to, you know, incorporate what I learned from that big traveling family that I had kind of acquired in those couple of years into my own touring and taking that into my own shows. And it's amazing watching the younger folks that were so, some of them not even born when that was happening, you know, that are coming to these new festivals and listening to the Grateful Dead channel and knowing these songs. And it's really fascinating, you know. It's inspiring. It's funny.
I was thinking also, I mean, you're about to do a show on Saturday, and you play so many instruments. You're, if I may say so, virtuosic guitar player, but you also play other stringed instruments and percussion and piano. And I was wondering what your practice day is like. Do you practice everything? Do you go through phases where you're focusing on one instrument in particular?
Well, you know, I wish there could be a practice regimen, but there's really not. You know, I'm gone for 3 or 4 days a week, home for 3 or 4 days a week, and I've got two kids, and you know, whenever I can, I sit down at the piano and play, and there's guitars in every room, and I'm always picking them up, but the actual time I'm regimented, I should really be giving myself, hasn't been there for, you know, since the kids came along, and that's a beautiful thing too, because that also keeps me, so once I do go back out and get back out on the road that weekend, I'm fresh and hungry and ready for the stage, you know, as opposed to playing all the time. But I can only imagine things would get more interesting and the repertoire would grow if I would allow myself that regimen, which I think is coming. Just, you know, my kids are 4 and 7 right now, and I'm kind of consumed mentally. It's a beautiful thing.
Right, and you wrote a song about that, which I love. Maybe we'll get to play a piece of that at the end. You play and tour so much. Do you still get to go to the concerts and hear the live music and the people that you want to hear?
A lot of the festivals that I play, I'm able to go and check out bands, and that's a real cool thing. There's a small amount of music that happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and that's usually when I don't play. And my wife is really good about finding little shows that she knows that we would both like, and you know, doing a date night up in D.C. or Richmond or something like that. And so, yeah, she's been really good at finding these cool shows. We've done a whole bunch of them since she stopped breastfeeding, about 20 of them in the past, you know, two years.
What are you working on now? Are we going to hear something new soon?
Well, just because I am what I am, which is, you know, a crazy person, probably, some would say, I have two records that are in the bag that are already recorded. One is called Keys, and it is a follow-up to a benefit download I did for the Rex Foundation. That one was called Rex, and that was basically Grateful Grass, which was Grateful Dead songs done bluegrass with Keith Mosley on bass, Jeff Austin on mandolin, and myself on guitar. That came out in 2006, and this is something I've been wanting to do for years that I finally have done. This is all Grateful Dead songs done on piano, and it is digital download and is going to benefit the Rex Foundation and was going to come out around Thanksgiving, but because of the pick record, we're going to push that back probably until the spring of 2013. And I've also done a solo acoustic guitar and vocals record with just guitar and vocals, like a little bit full circle, and that'll be, I think, the 20th record. So I'm kind of like caught up mentally on recordings right now with those two, you know, the Keys and the guitar record to be released next year. So I'm pretty much my mind is open, ready to accept more material. These songs are, have been pretty bad, so it's no rush, really, to release them, but those two have definitely been done and ready to roll.
Now, what is the music business like now compared to when you started, from your perspective, in terms of being a working musician, making a living, the giant changes that have been brought by digital and the internet?
Right. Well, even long before that, there was the country, in the 80s, you know, in the early 90s, the country just was, it was a normal thing to go into a restaurant or a bar with no cover charts, and there was a guy playing guitar in the corner. You know, that was so normal. And that was me for so many places for so many years, being that guy in the corner. And you just don't see that anymore. So it's really, you know, where I that's where I started and where I learned a bunch of songs and wrote songs, is right there in front of folks that weren't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention to them. It was just all a big creative time, and it was fantastic. And just not, it's not there. So I think it's harder for younger acoustic solo acts to really get going. It's really difficult in this digital age, which, on a whole nother note, the digital world is just amazing. You know, it's opened up all kinds of incredible avenues for me. It's a way to get music out, you know, immediately if I want to. It's just an amazing time for sharing recorded music. You know, the days of making money on music are definitely gone, if not limited. And it took a long time for me to accept that. Now with the whole digital age, it's a fantastic time for you know, releasing music, but not necessarily for young acoustic guitarists.
Right, right. Well, Keller Williams, I love what you do, and I just am thrilled that you are spreading so much love and fun and joy and freedom. Your music is both brilliant and hilarious, and thanks for doing what you do, and we'll see you on Saturday in Taos.
Wow, thank you so much for the airtime. I appreciate it.
That the mind is the second thing to go, and I cannot remember the first. I lost my drink about an hour ago, and I feel like I'm dying of thirst. I ain't had a car in about a week. It's been parked somewhere at the mall. I gave up looking for it after 2 days and scratching my head raw. But I'm still looking for the lighter that's in my hand. I'm looking for the glasses on my head. I'm looking for the keys that are in my pocket. I think I left my phone in the cab. I'm looking for my brain and some evidence. Shows just parked down back, tied up to the fence. Had a little baby about a year ago, and I ain't seen my sanity since.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.